Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us thus far. We trust you that you will guide us to the end of this service, Lord. And this is the time where we're going to open our heart to listen to your word. And we're asking you, Lord, to be with your servant through whom you will speak this morning. Forgive him of his sins and let him speak only what you will have him to, Lord, for the edification of every single soul here or wherever they're listening. We love you and ask you all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is the third week of our series, Not a Fan. The first week, we defined the relationship. And in week two, we talked and we definitely went over some marks of a follower. And by now, we all understand whether we are a fan or follower. And then this is a I think it's a good point. Is that where?
Yeah, you're perfect.
Okay, good. Whether we are fan or followers, so we know it. At least we are in the phase where we can make a good choice. Whatever choice we make, we understand exactly what. So we cannot be mistaken right now. We know exactly. And that's why this morning we're going to talk about what must I do. So this, you just need to know exactly whatever you choose, whichever way you choose, we're going to answer this question this morning, what must I do? This message, I think I have 20 pages, but don't be scared. I may go over them. It will be up to my ability to have you to understand or your help to understand. And I think I am going to start with put the question in context. If we can grasp the context of the question, I may go over 2-3 pages and it's over. So after I try to put the question into context, if everybody says they're good, then we'll be out of here in no time. Okay? What must I do? We have military personnel here, people here, and a lot of us, many of us, been in the Navy. If you go back to understand what attracted you to the Navy, what attracted you to military. Right now, if you just joined, why did you join? Or how do the Navy advertise? Do they advertise to say, you know what, we need people to serve the country. We need people to go. We have war going on in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we need people to join. Is that how they advertise things? So the point is they want you to serve, but they advertise it more to show you what is in there for you. Okay? So it's not a job. It's not just a job. It's an adventure. Schools, the benefits, secure job. It's all true, right? And then is this in this context, you go to the recruiter or wherever you call to say, what must I do? You see what I mean? Is that the context? You say, okay, my goodness, you're talking about benefits, good job, good pay, blah, blah, blah. Then what must I do? Now, your what must I do is what must I do to join so I can have these benefits. So this is your context, what happened after you joined then? After you joined, you're going to find out even from boot camp, things are different. And you're going to find out you have to deal with so many other stuff they didn't tell you about before you can even reach to the point to graduate and then to even force yourself to qualify for some programs or whatever. So your what must I do from the beginning, you may be disappointed if that was your idea. But like we saw last week, it is not so for Jesus. When he called us, he asked us, he invited us, he told us exactly we're going to have a cross to bear. So I believe and I hope this question in your mind, I hope you put it in the right context. It's, you know, when you say, what must I do? You're saying, Lord, I'm ready. I understand what it takes. I understand it's not just fun. Just tell me what must I do, and I'm willing to do it. I hope this is the context we're going through this message this morning. Do I have to start over again? For sure. All right, we get the context. Thank you. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting from verse 18, Peter was talking to the Christians. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, he's telling them, remember, now you come to Jesus. You come to Christ. And he's telling them it wasn't silver and gold that attracted them. It wasn't silver and gold. They were not bought by money. They were not brought in because they were given some nice promises or whatever. But they were redeemed not with corruptible things, but they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 23, he continued to say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel was preached unto you. It was told you exactly what it is. So that's why you come, and that's why you say, why must I do? Peter continue in chapter 2 with the same idea. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, which is ill will, ill desire, desire to endure wickedness, and guile, and hypocrisies, envy and all evil speakings, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. After you've been brought in, after the word has been spoken unto you, therefore, put aside everything that will not work, every sin, every burden. And then in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes. Some of you who don't have the experience of having small kids yet, let me tell you, even if they don't speak, they're just brand new, they know how to express their when they're hungry. When they're hungry, you know. I don't know of any mom who has to go to their kids every 2-3 hours, say, "Are you hungry, honey?" You know, because they have all kind of ways to express it. So that's what he's saying. After you get saved, after you come to Christ, as newborn babes, you have to have that desire. You have to have that desire of the sincere milk. Now, sincere is pure milk. You cannot just drink any milk. You will get sick. The desire you have to have is not just to drink milk. No, the pure milk. And fleshly speaking, what is the purest milk? The milk that we know is the best. Mother's ones, right? From this. Don't get it from anywhere else. The pure milk. Don't get it, you know, actually, even from the mother's breath, if you take it and put it in containers, it's best to get it straight from the source. Don't give in and out the space for stuff to get into it. Straight, the Bible. That's why the Bible talks about after Paul preached, those who received the word, they would go back and to check to make sure what Paul was saying was true. Don't take it from me. You can listen, faith cometh by hearing. But you have to take it yourself and have the desire for the sincere milk and go double check. I am but a man. If you take my word for it, you will have to answer for yourself, as I will have to answer for myself. So you have that sincere desire for the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. After you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you," you have the desire, the word, the milk, sincere, pure milk, that's what will have you to grow. Now, I want to take some example that we're not going to read all the scriptures, but Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. We know the story. He persecuted the church, and then finally he get authorization to just go ahead and put Christians in prison. And he was met by the Lord near Damascus, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Let's go back to our context again. When Paul said, "What will thou have me to do?" Don't you see there a turnaround? He's willing to turn around and do whatever. This man was ready. It wasn't like, "Lord, okay, what is in there for me?" It's the "Lord, tell me. I'm ready." Trembling, astonished. Of course, the Lord said, go ahead, go into the city, it will be told you what to do. And we find also Paul and Silas was in prison. And you know the story where they were praying and singing in the middle of the night. And the prison's doors were open. And when the guard who was sleeping saw that he wanted to kill himself. And that's when Paul cried with a loud voice, Acts chapter 16, verse 28, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprung in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? With the attitude, you know what? I want to be a follower. He kept them in prison. He knew exactly why they were in prison. And he knew by accepting that he was putting himself in physically bad situation also. But he said, tell me, what must I do? I'm willing. So is this question we're asking this morning that we want to answer? What must we do? Is it the same question that was asked to Peter and the other apostles in Acts chapter 2 after the first message was preached? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's an answer. Peter answered and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So after they received, they were baptized. In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had needed. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now we see the pattern, how things go. They were outside of Christ. They heard of Christ, they accepted, and then what next? They get baptized, and then, verse 42, the Bible says, they continued steadfastly. They devoted themselves daily in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word. And fellowship. Koinonia, in breaking of bread and in prayer. And then the Lord added to the church. I don't think anything changed from that. After we accepted, after we said we want to be a follower, it's still the same. Next, continue steadfastly in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. I don't think there is any need to go any further than that. Anything else is addition. But if we can have that after we make our decision, that's all we need. Jesus himself in John chapter 8, 30 to 32, after he spake words, many believe on him. Many. Many believe on him. Then he said to those who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Are we talking about followers? We're talking about followers, not fans. Do you want to be my followers? I know you believe on me, but if ye continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You are truly my followers. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But if you continue, what shall we do? Continue. Continue in his word. From this point, we can see that not everyone who believes is a follower, at least a true one. Just because we believe, that doesn't make you a follower. And when we say believe, this is the true belief. But in order to be truly a follower, he says, you have to continue in my word. And he says, ye shall know the truth. Like Herod asks, what is the truth? Then Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So how can you know Jesus if you don't continue in his word? And he says, the truth shall make you free. If you continue to read, you will see when the Jews were mad at him. They say, well, come on, we've never been slaves. We've never been, we are Abraham's seeds, you know. And Jesus said, you don't know me. If you knew Abraham, you would know me, etc. He says, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. So he is the one, the truth, that will make you free. If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. But in order for you to know the truth, you have to abide in and continue in his word. Then that's truly you know Jesus. You know Jesus. You know when the Bible says to know those who labor among you? How do you know somebody? How do you know me? Who in this room knows me more than anybody else beside God? Pastor Thomas. You know why? Pastor Thomas is one of them. You don't know everything, but you know why? Pastor Thomas and I, we walk a lot together. We travel together. We sleep many times. We oversleep. We just talk. He knows me a lot. But this lady right here, she knows everything. You know what? She sleeps with me. She wakes up with me. If you need any secret, she'll be the one to give it. But she'll not give it. She'll not give it. That's how we know. How do you know Jesus? How do you know him, the truth, if you just spend Sunday morning with him? How will you know him? How will he will set you free if, okay, your Bible is so neat? You know, this is a neat one. I have this, for many years. But this is too neat. But if you see my study Bible, then you will understand. If your Bible is neat and it's the only one you have, something is wrong. No notes in it. The only way you're going to know Jesus, the only way you're going to be freed by him is by continuing in his word. This coming here for an hour or so, listening to me, will not cut it. My being here is just to guide you, to just expound something to you, but you have to go do the digging yourself. Can you imagine having a 17 years old and still need moms to feed them breast milk? After a while, you need to, you know, after, I think, 2 years or less of breastfeeding, the child needs to start to eat food. And after that, yeah, of course, mom and dad can feed you, but after a while, you have to actually take your spoon and do it. After a while, you need to go to the refrigerator yourself. After a while, you need to cook. After a while, cook for mom and dad too. Continue in the word, in my word. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11-16, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the eventual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's why those positions in church are so important, because, and it, they all have to do with the word. You cannot be a Christian and not a follower and not abiding in the word. First of all, you have no root, really. No root. You cannot stand. We are living, this is a battlefield we are in. Not only you need your defense equipment, but you need weapon too. Sometimes you cannot be just defensive, you have to be offensive. And the weapon, if you can have everything else you can have, but if you don't have the word, if you don't have the word, you may fall. Because the word really is the truth. The word, remember, at the beginning was the word. The word was made flesh, and the word itself was with God and is God. I mean, the word is everything. Is everything. And this is why if in our life, if in our church, if in our ministry, we don't push the word, it's like we miss it everything. We can have everything else. You don't have the word, you miss it all. The word. And the scriptures we all know that I will take to just one more time, go over that, is the temptation of Christ. We know Jesus abide in the word, right? He knew the word. He was the Word. Remember when he stood in the temple questioning the lawyers. But in chapter 4 of Matthew, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. After he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, of course. While he was hungry, Satan came to him, the tempter. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." If thou be the Son of God. And of course, I don't know if it was a big snake come talk to him. I don't know if it was a big monster with horn. I don't know. But my personal conviction is just inside, you know. My personal conviction is like when you're hungry, when I am hungry and you're making all kind of crazy ideas, you know. You are hungry and then you work at somebody's home. Actually, I have some pretty good stories. I remember one specific time. It was a Thanksgiving day. I had money in my pocket, but I was far away in Edenton area. McDonald's was closed. All fast food, all restaurants closed. I have money. I had no food. And I had to work. And I enter into people's home to work, and I see food. I see stuff, and I'm hungry. Sometimes I'm thinking, I say, man, if only I could just, you know. Sometimes you feel, why don't you just grab a candy, man? You're dying. Grab a candy. So you're hungry. So Jesus is hungry, so he's saying to himself, I have the power to take, you know, turn stone into bread. And he could. And it would seems like that wouldn't be a big deal. He can do it. But yet, because he knew why he came from, he came to live as man, he came to do whatever man should be able to do. So he answered the question for himself. He answered, you know, of course, this temptation. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So he survived that. But see how he started. It is written. It is written. So he knew what was written in the scriptures, in the word. It is written. And verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, Satan put him all the way up, and he probably looked, he said, I should do something fun, you know, I should just test God, because it is written. He knew it. And then, of course, what come to his mind? He says, it is written. I mean, Satan reminded him, it is written in the scripture that you have angels to protect you. Why don't you go ahead, test that, try that? It is in the word. So that's what happened. We may have enough to know it is written. But we need to know so much that we know also it is also written. Because what happened, if you don't grow into perfection in the Word of God, you will still be children being tossed back and forth. Because you go to your left, they say something. To your right, they say another thing. And you are not equipped enough. And whatever anybody else says, it sounds good. And you want to follow them. And that's why you don't see the stability in many Christians' life. They don't have the sincere milk. And they don't have it enough. It's like living in such a busy world. Mommies don't have time to breastfeeding. And it's just not good. And that's what happened. In church, there are so many other things to do, to go, and we don't have enough time to spend time in the Word. And then what happened? We're not fed, and then whatever somebody says, hey, sounds good, and we just jump up and down, left and right. So Jesus answered, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's true. It is written, I have angels to protect me. But remember, it is also written, I shall not tempt the Lord. So yes, I could drop myself down, but I decide to drop myself just to tempt God, just to test God. It doesn't work this way. But if something happens, somebody push me or a stone rolled under my foot and I fall, I will be protected. But I'm not supposed to just jump and wait for deliverance. Doesn't work this way. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He could answer that because he knew it. In three times, he says, it is written. For this particular one, I remember exactly when and where this happened to me. I remember exactly a situation I was going on, and I got to the point where I was put on top of this mountain. And the idea came to me, and I said, I look at the very hard time I was going through, and really, without thinking of that scripture, and the flesh took over, and I said to myself, why am I going through all this I'm going through? If only I wasn't in ministry, life could be just different. I can see clearly where I would go. I don't have to put up with all this. I can be a regular Christian and then still have my life, a good life. And then all of a sudden, that scripture came to my mind. I was on top of the mountain. It's the way Satan told us, Hubert, come on, Hubert. You're worth more than that. If only you give too much time, attention, and you spending your life here. If only you drop this. Look what you can get. Look. And then that's when I said, wow, I am on top of the mountain. And when you realize that and you say, get thee hence, Satan. And it can happen only if you know the scripture. Only if you know the scripture. And it's a battle all of us are going through. And sometimes we just don't, we take Jesus' temptation, but we never put ourselves in it. And we go over that constantly. Constantly. And then the devil leaveth him. There is one of the place where it says the devil left him for a season, not for all the time. He will come back. He will come back. What happened is you get tempted in this, you overcome. Tomorrow he will prepare himself to come back with a bigger one. So if you just satisfy yourself and say, I got him, and then you stay right there, tomorrow he will come. He knows your strength now, right? He knows your strength. Tomorrow he will come with a higher weapon. So you have to go back and get even more scripture. Get even stronger. That's the way. So to answer this question, what must I do? Continue steadfastly in the word of God. And I truly believe it's the duty of the church itself as an institution to set that environment. So the minute somebody say, hey, I want to be a follower, and then we already have everything set for the word, for anybody to abide. That's why the Bible says it's a special honor to elders who labor in the word and doctrine. And the last scripture, 1 Timothy 5:17. Paul was talking, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Because that's the key. That's the key of everything. What next? What must you do? Abide in the word. Continue in the word, in the apostles' doctrine, teaching. And that's how you will grow. And when you grow for good. You grow with roots, good foundation, and ready to face any temptation. May God bless you.
Amen. Let us stand together. God Almighty, we have been reminded today that each of us have a decision to make. Help us to be completely committed followers of you, God. Whether this is day one in our journey or we've been on this path for many years, help us to prayerfully and completely understand that you're calling us not to just believe in you, but to be completely committed followers of you. Lord, we ask you to show us this week as we study your word how we can apply that to our daily living. We ask you, Lord, this week as we go throughout our activities of work and family and communicating with those around us, that we will see opportunities to be yielded to the leading of your Holy Spirit, that we will be seen as completely committed followers of you, that our light will shine in a way that people will see in our lives our commitment to you, that we will find ourselves this week more clearly understanding what to say yes to and what to say no to. That we will begin to see how that when we're completely committed followers of you, we seek your will above our will. Help us, Lord, to be more like you as we seek to follow you more closely and more completely. in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And everyone said, and everyone shouted, amen. I'm going to dismiss you.